This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Farming is a big part of Indiana's economy, so it makes sense that Indiana farmers should have adequate health coverage. Group health plans are offered to businesses with two or more employees, but most farmers work alone. There's a plan in place for lawmakers to address this, but some say it could do more. If you have questions or comments on our show today, you can let us know on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana, and you can send us a voicemail as well. Call us 866-476-3881. Just give your name, where you're calling from, and a quick question or comment, and we'll try to get it into the conversation. And we'll have a great live panel the rest of the show today, including a farmer from Indiana and the president of Indiana Farm Bureau. Again, 866-476-3881. Joining me now is Samantha Horton, business reporter here for Indiana Public Broadcasting. Thanks for coming in, Sam.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
So let's start simple. Since a lot of people listening aren't going to be familiar with this, what does the Indiana Farm Bureau want to do this legislative session?
Absolutely. It's a lot of information here. But right now, the Indiana Farm Bureau, the big top priority they really let public know about on this past December is that they're trying to change state law that would essentially allow these association healthcare plans to be offered to sole proprietors. Right now, it's only allowed to essentially people who have two or more employees, and a lot of farmers in Indiana are sole proprietors of their farms. So this would essentially allow the Farm Bureau then to establish their own association healthcare plan for those farmers.
And an association healthcare plan is like the kind of plan you would get at work, right?
Yeah, it's really targeted for these small businesses or groups that essentially that maybe have a same, such as the Farm Bureau, which is a lot of agriculture and farming, farmers and businesses in those industry. And so really that's what it offers is kind of these plans that are alternative to the marketplace that right now a lot of the farmers are going to. And so it gives them an alternative option to look at.
And so this allows farmers to sort of have that same coverage at maybe the same price level that could be enjoyed by a smaller business. Do you know from your reporting how that might be possible?
So I guess the best way to describe just what they're trying to do is right now the marketplace is really expensive. Mm-hmm. And the Indiana Chamber of Commerce actually does offer essentially a group healthcare plan to small businesses here in Indiana. So a similar idea, but just the fact is the farmers couldn't necessarily be a part of that because they're sole proprietors. And so that's where that ties back into it. And so it's really about trying to just make more options available, because for some, this might not necessarily be the most affordable option for them. But it's just really trying. The big conversation has been for farmers that healthcare is expensive. Definitely, they're finding the marketplace to be really expensive for them. So this is trying to just provide another option, at least for some, that they could look at taking advantage of.
So what about those options? What are these plans that are offered right now, and who's offering them?
So Tennessee is a state that the Tennessee Farm Bureau actually has had their health care plan running for quite some time now. They have had that, so they've been running it to offer it to farmers, as well as Kansas, Nebraska, and Iowa, I believe, are some of the other states. And there's other farm bureaus across the country in their states, respectively, that are looking at similar policies as well for their farmers.
And I've heard that what we are looking at is this plan that – or what they've already done in Tennessee – what are they doing there, and how could we come close to it?
So, yeah, what they're doing in Tennessee is essentially it's been going for quite some time. I know Indiana Farm Bureau is really looking at using theirs as a model and looking at working with Tennessee to try to establish what the Indiana Farm Bureaus would be here. However, you've seen some differences in some states based off of the needs for the farmers in each state. These association plans do allow for each farm bureau in their state to kind of change it based off of the needs they feel would meet their farmers. So, but at the same time, it has had some conflicts. Some people have some concerns. To try to tie that a little bit into it is the fact that there's, questions of if people have pre-existing conditions, if they might be denied then, and what that would do possibly then to their insurance if they have to stay on the marketplace.
Pre-existing conditions is something that always comes up when these sorts of things are discussed. But is there a lot of support for this, maybe specifically what we're doing here in Indiana, from farmers?
Yes, there's been – they essentially surveyed members and found a large response. And the past year with their district meetings have had a lot of responses saying health care is a huge issue and they really want the Farm Bureau to find a way here in Indiana to figure out how to help Hoosier farmers. So I think a lot of farmers are really wanting to see something out there that they could look at and consider as an option. But, I mean, until – this state law gets changed to where the Indiana Farm Bureau could even create these policies, there's kind of an uncertainty about exactly what would these policies fully include.
Mm. And let's go back to some of the concerns. You mentioned pre-existing conditions. What are some of the other critiques? How are people saying that this perhaps doesn't go far enough?
So the big thing that's been a concern with some of these association healthcare plans is they don't necessarily have to follow some of the federal regulations that the Affordable Care Act put in place. And so a few years back, when the Trump administration rolled that back to really open the door to let these association healthcare plans essentially roll out in different areas. And so there's been a lot of questions of there's not necessarily the full regulations that would be there. So the pre-existing conditions is one, people being denied due to that. And then as well as, you know, what does it cover fully? Do they have to cover maternity costs? Do they have to cover these other issues that maybe might come up for certain medical issues? So there's a lot of, you know, kind of this question of like, what will it fully include? Plus, there's a question, too, as time goes on, if these costs, what exactly will you see with the prices of these plans? If, let's say, a significant number of those on these plans get sick all of a sudden, or the medical costs go up for them.
Mm-hmm. Which is always a concern for a number of like group health plans. You put mm-hmm. these people in the pool. You want to make sure some of them are healthy so that it can offset the ones who are not. Now, I've read something about discount plans versus health insurance. Does that factor in here at all? Discount plans being these sort of plans that offer discounts to medical procedures or visits that aren't necessarily health insurance. Is that part of this conversation at all?
I don't necessarily know if I would be the best person to give that answer about, but I do know that they have – these association healthcare plans have been advertised as a more affordable option than possibly what's on the marketplace.
Okay.
So that's really the best answer I could give for that.
So what's the history behind this? A lot of this is connected with the Affordable Care Act and changes that have come from the Trump administration. Correct.
And kind of tying back to what I said earlier, yes, that's Affordable Care Act really kind of put some more regulations and really kind of clamped down on the association healthcare plans being offered. And so the Trump administration rolled those back a couple years ago. And so now you're seeing these being offered. And what's happening now is now being it's been challenged in court, and the questions of if it's actually legal to be having these association plans out there.
So it seems like we're in the situation because of some squeezes that have come from the current presidential administration on the Affordable Care Act. Am I understanding that correctly? They've kind of altered the Affordable Care Act to kind of that kind of gave us this situation that we're sort of mitigating, I suppose, with these legislative efforts.
Yeah, from what I understand, that's the understanding. Yes.
What about what's happened in Nebraska? They've made some similar changes.
Yes. Yeah, so this kind of gets into Nebraska kind of shows how each of these farm bureaus almost has established their own little plans, essentially to work with their farmers and their groups. And so Nebraska they created their own association healthcare plan there, but they essentially have worked to where they're letting people with pre-existing conditions into their plan. So they're obviously they felt enough of it. They decided from their bureau that they wanted to offer that out there. So that's where it kind of varies. These plans can vary by state. It's really by that association and what they want to do and who they look to partner with for offering that healthcare plans. So that's where this really kind of is a you almost have to look at each plan to really determine what are some of the concerns, what are some of the risks that could be out there.
What about the timeline? What are we looking at as far as when this could go through, when this could even be addressed at the State House, and then when would it go into effect?
So legislation, from what I've seen, the bill has been introduced. Waiting for a committee hearing was the last thing I saw. And so really then, if it makes it through this legislative session, gets signed by the governor, and then pretty much it would be the Indiana Farm Bureau starting to prepare rolling out these plans and letting farmers kind of start looking at them, seeing if they would work. So you could start seeing farmers possibly look at taking advantage of them going into 2021.
I've heard that this all kind of came through a little bit late, or at least by some perspectives, it was kind of addressed or maybe brought up a little more recently than it should have.
Yeah, it got brought up at in December at the annual convention for the Indiana Farm Bureau, and it was something that was being discussed for a while, but really got ramped up towards the end of the year there. Really, that's when the Indiana Farm Bureau conducted a survey with its members, really tried to explore how important it would be to push this legislation to be able to offer these health care plans. And so when they rolled it out, it was very clear that this was, you know, kind of one of the things, they're all on board to really push to be able to make this happen.
So does any part of this seem rushed? Now that we know that, it was kind of put forth, and I wouldn't say the last minute.
No, it's definitely there. The topic has been aware for a while. It's just the question, you know, that you could have, like, oh, it was introduced in December, is like enough of a timeline. But the Indiana Farm Bureau, when they rolled it out, they really showed this, that they've really worked on, they have their lobbying efforts really in place. They also have really established some connections with some of the key legislative members to really help push this through the session. So I think while maybe the timeline might be shorter than some, that they still really have then put all the effort, hands on deck, so to speak, to make it as best of a chance of success as possible.
Well, we'll get some more information in our next segment. Samantha Horton, business reporter for Indiana Public Broadcasting, thank you so much for stopping by to introduce us to this.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
And we'll meet a farmer up next, and we'll ask him how this issue affects him and what he thinks of the proposed change. And we'll talk to the president of the Indiana Farm Bureau to find out what the group's short-term and long-term plans are going forward. As always, we'll take your questions and comments on social media. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana. Send us a voicemail. Just include us your name and where you're calling from. Maybe a quick message at 866-476-3881. We would love to literally hear from you. That's 866-476-3881. I'm Matt Pelser. We're back in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Before we get back to our conversation on health insurance for farmers, I want to mention our last show. Yesterday, we learned about Bill Harvey, the Indiana native who some called America's James Bond for his espionage work during the Cold War. You can find that show and all of our shows wherever you get podcasts. Just search for All In. Today, we're talking about a proposed change for the way health insurance is offered to farmers in Indiana. As always, we'd love your questions and comments on the topic. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana, or leave us a voicemail, including your first name and where you're calling from, at 866-476-3881. On the phone now, we're joined by Randy Cron, president of the Indiana Farm Bureau. Thanks for taking the time, Randy.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Also on the phone is Jake Smoker, a farmer in northern Indiana who chairs the state's Young Farmers and Ag Professionals Group. Jake, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
So, Randy, we'll start with you. We talked about this a bit with reporter Samantha Horton in the first segment, but can you explain exactly what you want to implement here for farmers?
Sure. Let me give you a little background how we got to this, because this has been several years in the making, really. So it hasn't nothing that's happened real quick. But I've served as president of Indiana Farm Bureau the last 4 years here. And as I travel the state, all the Farm Bureau meetings, meeting with farmers, I continually get, I don't know if there's a meeting that goes by that I don't get a question about the cost of health care, the health insurance, and how it's impacting their farms. And then generally, the next question is, can't Farm Bureau do something to help? And, you know, our 100-year history, we've been about finding solutions for our members and for farmers across the state. And we've done that in a number of ways, from starting the Farm Bureau co-op system many years ago. And then, you know, actually it was back in the mid-30s we started an insurance company for property casualty life, because our members couldn't find coverage at all, or if they could, it wasn't adequate coverage. So we've got a history of doing things like this for our members and trying to serve their needs. And so we've been trying to research it. We did a survey, which you talked about earlier, and there were two main points that came out of the survey. And the first one was the cost of their health insurance is adversely affecting their farm. We found out from that there's a number of people that don't even carry insurance because they can't afford it. And the second important part, there was a lot of information, but the second important part was it has to be able to get down to the sole proprietor, to the individual, because most of our members, if you look at their farm operations, the way they're structured. So we took all that in mind. We took over a year to research and try to find an answer or a solution or what's out here. And we realized after a lot of work and a lot of research, there is nothing on the marketplace that can be more affordable and get down to the sole proprietor. You talked about the Chamber of Commerce plan and some of those, but see, they have to have two employees and an employee-employer relationship. So after reviewing this, we realized the only way we could help our membership out is to do a legislative fix to allow us to get down to the sole proprietor, the individual policies, like some of these others can do if you're a larger group or you have several employees. So I just wanted you to have a little background how we got to here, because this has been a couple years in the making and research and trying to make sure we understand what's happening.
Sure. And so we don't get to this point without it being a problem for a while, but I guess, when did this become a problem? Is this sort of recent?
It's been going on for a lot of years. Like I said, I've served 4 years as Indiana Farm Bureau president, and they've been asking for this. And the problem was, how do you try to fix it? And, you know, within the legal framework right now, there's not an option on the market. And, you know, that's what we're looking to do, is bring another option, a more affordable option, to the market. It's not for everybody, but it will help a lot of our members. And so there's been a lot to it, a lot of research.
And you talked about some farmers and the fact that they just don't have health insurance. But for the ones that do, where do they get it?
Most of them are going to the marketplace, it appears, that are. Now, there's a number of them I've talked to. Their spouse works off the farm, and they would prefer to have the spouse back on the farm helping them, but they can't. They need the insurance, so they do it from they're working off the farm. And actually, I talked to one the other day that gave me a story. His wife works in the school cafeteria and gets health coverage, but he told me her entire paycheck goes to cover their health insurance bill, that they get health insurance through the school. But he said, actually, we kick in a little extra money, but she only does it for the health insurance. So there's a lot of stories out there like that. I talked to an individual this morning that she told me they're paying more for health insurance than their mortgage payment on their house. And she said, something's wrong with that.
Jake, you're a farmer up north. Can you tell us about your farm and your farming career?
Yeah, so I'm the fourth generation back on our farm. We started at our location here in LaPorte County in Wanata, about 20 miles off Lake Michigan, back in 1939. I graduated from Purdue in economics and spent about 5 years in Chicago working. Gave up that job up in Chicago to come back to fill a lifelong love of farming. And with that came some of the challenges, not only from growing crops and cattle and what we do up here, but financial challenges as well, things like this health insurance issue.
Crops and cattle, anything, can you get specific? Is it corn and beans and cattle?
Sure. Yeah, so specifically what we do is non-GMO corn, non-GMO soybeans for export markets. And then we also do cattle as well. We bring them in and feed them out. And if you'll see them on the shelves of Walmarts and Kroger's and Marsh, you know, things like that.
So then what's your situation been like with health insurance and the time that you've spent as a farmer? Is what we're talking about today pretty close to your situation?
It really is. When I was working in Chicago, I had health insurance, didn't really think much about it. I was a single young guy, right out of college, didn't really pay much attention. Came back to the farm, still wasn't really on my mind. Got married, and my wife grew up on a farm near Fort Wayne, Indiana, and she has a teaching degree, so she teaches at the local high school, and she gets health insurance through that, but it's still not something that was ever on my mind until our first child came. The pregnancy went just as it should, but when she came out, something happened. She came out black and blue, spent a lot of time in the NICU, and once we got through that, I started to really realize the value of health insurance and how expensive not only carrying it is, but how expensive even beyond it is. Our second child's on the way now, so it's something that keeps at the forefront of my mind. I know she would love to be able to step away from teaching, come back to the farm. Her passion is in scouting crops and things like that. She loves agronomy, but she teaches because of the health insurance at the end of the day.
Were you covered adequately enough to handle that situation? Sounds scary.
We were covered enough that it worked out. Things are tight. They're always tight. And farming is it's a margin business, and the last few years have been even tighter. We managed. We got through it. I'm fortunate to have a good family support structure around me. But yes, things, it's always on your mind, and, in a tight margin business, it can be a make or break in some instances.
We're talking to Jake Smoker, a farmer in northern Indiana who chairs the state's Young Farmers and Ag Professionals Group. We're also on the phone with Randy Cron, president of the Indiana Farm Bureau. We're talking about proposed changes that would allow farmers to take advantage of certain health care plans in Indiana. And, Randy, I want to come back to you. You talked about there not being anything on the marketplace that's not particularly cost prohibitive. And you've also mentioned that some are saying that paying for their health insurance is just as much as, if not more than their mortgage.
That's what I had a lady this morning that was explaining that at the State House. So I'm hearing a lot of stories like that around the state as I meet with different farmers, and I have the opportunity to go to a lot of farm meetings, but our survey showed that it is adversely affecting our family farms. And that's what we're trying to do, is just try to bring another option to the market. We realize it's not for everybody, but if it's another option that we can bring to the marketplace, that's a good thing. And, with the Farm Bureau family here in Indiana, I know on your previous segment you talked about Tennessee and Kansas. And, we're fortunate. I call it the Farm Bureau family, but we can work together. And, Tennessee's done this for 25 years, and they've got a great track record. Kansas has done it for just about a few months. They did the legislation a year ago, but they've been offering plans probably 3 or 4 months, and they've got close to 2,000 policies now people have signed up. So that tells you there's a real need. Now, it's not broad spread, but it hits the farm agriculture community quite a bit. So that's what we're trying to partner with some other farm bureaus. We don't have to reinvent the wheel, but to bring some other options that are, more affordable. I don't know if I want to go as far as say affordable, but a lot more affordable than what's out there on the marketplace right now. And I want to, something that surprised me in our survey that we had part several of our questions. One of the question was, when it comes to issues affecting you, which of the following is your top concern? And healthcare was the number one, then property taxes, and then trade. And I will say I was shocked when healthcare came in above trade issues, that we know what's going on a lot of those things, and maybe some of it got resolved yesterday and today. But, you know, that says a lot to me when that was the number one choice.
What about some of the concerns about this? One of them being that certain protections won't be in place and that farmers could get denied because of pre-existing conditions, things like that.
There's, you know, when I go back to our survey, and, you know, we have to get sole proprietor and it has to be more affordable. The only way, you know, just like the chamber plan, some of these others, there's things out there. So it's not going to be coverage for everybody, but it will help a lot. We have to find a way to be able to bring savings to the marketplace. And, you know, that's one of the ways. So if you have pre-existing, you still have the marketplace and they can still go to those things. But if we're going to bring a product to market that's a lower cost or more affordable, you know, there has to be a few things that give in the situation here.
Jake, are you steeped enough in this to be able to say whether these concerns, some of these concerns that have been brought up surrounding these proposed changes, do any of them apply to you?
Not me personally, no, but I know it's a consideration that young farmers across the state, and I've been fortunate to chair the committee. Healthcare is an issue that's brought up every meeting that we've had. We've had recommendations to the Farm Bureau to explore this, and you know what we're hoping for, at least out here, is if we can get down to that sole proprietor, like so many of us are, and we know we can't help everyone, but at least this will be a positive step in the right direction.
I mean, I've talked to some farmers on this show and in real life, and they all are just very pragmatic people. And so I guess reasonably, with legislation, you can't get everything that you want. And you know, it's never likely that you would get everything you want. But if you were to get everything you want, Jake, as far as health insurance for farmers in Indiana, what changes would you like to see?
Just something that's more affordable, something I can remember back when I was a child that seemed like things were easier for my parents. There was four of us kids and we never had to consider whether or not we were going to go to the doctor. It just happened. I'm sitting here with one child and another child on the way. And I'd never sacrifice, their care, but I know I've put off my own personal issues. That way I knew that I could cover their issues. So if there is a way that we could make it affordable for everybody, that would be the best way I would want to see coming forward.
Randy Crone, I hear that. Why were things easier back then? How is now different?
I wish I understood that. It just seems like it's a lot more complicated. I want to back up on what Jake said. Part of our survey talked about, we had 48% of respondents. Now, the ones under 65, because, you know, that way you take out the Medicare part. But 48% of them said they've chosen not to get treatment for health conditions because of costs. So I think that says a lot right there. But to your question of why it's more complicated, that's a great question. I don't have the answer to that one.
And you announced this as a priority in December. We talked a little bit about this in the last segment with Samantha Horton, but I want to hear it from you. And this was pretty close to the start of the legislative session. Is there any concern that this won't get passed in part just because there wasn't enough time?
We've been working on, like I said at the beginning, we've been working on this for better than a year. You know how the legislative system works. We've talked to legislators. They understand there's a need. I was at the State House this morning. You know, there was a number of farmers there explaining, because I think if they're going to pass something like this, they have to understand there's a need, and this helps, you know, solve part of that need. Now, we're not trying to fix the whole healthcare thing. That's a whole bigger issue, and I'll let them in our nation's capital try to figure it out. We're just trying to bring a workable solution to the marketplace here in Indiana that can help our family farmers, you know, around the state.
As I understand, this is just kind of a first step. If you're successful this session and you get the law changed to offer plans to sole proprietors, which is what we're talking about, what's the long-term plan after that? Are there bigger things coming?
I've told our members we will continue to look for other solutions and other things that we can do to help. We do plan on bringing some more choices to the Medicare, some more options, probably some dental vision products to the market. So we'll bring a few more things to the market, but this is the big one so that we can save some money, for farmers across the state.
Got about a minute left. You said that we've been looking at Tennessee as sort of the model for this, and indeed they've been at this for about 25 years with this sort of approach. Can you explain what the role people there will have in this and how important that model is?
There's some more details to be worked out, but as I said earlier, with the Farm Bureau family, we can work together and we help each other, and we do that with our property casualty companies in across the country. And that's what they've already invented the wheel. We don't have to reinvent it. So that's the advantage. And it will help us bring some products to market quicker by partnering with them and doing, with what they're doing right now and with a proven track record. So that's what they will play a big part in it. We've been in communications with them. And actually, we've talked to their insurance commissioner and things to find out how they were perceived and how they were liked, and very, very favorable comments from there. They realize there's a niche and there's a place for these products, and they're filling that.
Randy Crone is president of the Indiana Farm Bureau. We really appreciate you taking the time today.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Jake Smoker is a farmer in northern Indiana and chair of the state's Young Farmers and Ag Professionals Group. Thank you, Jake.
Thank you, Matt.
Up next, we'll get a national perspective on the issue and find out how other states have handled it, and we'll break down some of the complicated history that got us here. I'm Matt Pelzer. We're back in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelzer. Back now to our discussion on an effort to change how health insurance works for Indiana farmers. We're joined on the phone now by Kevin Lucia. Kevin is a research professor at the Center on Health Insurance Reforms at the McCourt School of Public Policy at Georgetown University. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
As always, we'd love to hear your questions and comments. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana, or just leave us a short voicemail with your name and where you're calling from at 866-476-3881. That's 866-476-3881. And we'll try to get it in front of Kevin before we're done at 2 o'clock. Kevin, we've been talking today about an effort to expand options for farmers getting health insurance here in Indiana. Can you give us a sense for how our situation compares to states around the country? Are similar efforts happening elsewhere?
That's a great question. I think after the Affordable Care Act, the individual market has been helpful. It expanded coverage for 20 million people. But some people who are not subsidy eligible have been facing, steep premiums, especially in some states. And so I think that every state probably is out there trying to think of ways that they may, make this market work better and be more affordable for their residents. And so I think Indiana is in no exception that they're, looking for opportunities to help individuals. The question of sole proprietors is real, in that they often are making too much money to get federal help for paying for their premiums. And yet they're facing premiums that may be too expensive for their level of income. And so, this, based on the conversation that's taken place, sounds like what might be happening to farmers in Indiana.
Well, as you mentioned, the Affordable Care Act and yeah. how it's kind of helped, but it could be easy for some people to see the Affordable Care Act and the problems that we're having now and maybe see a correlation there. Is there one, or were these problems sort of there before the Affordable Care Act came along and actually the ACA made things a little better?
Yeah, in many ways the Affordable Care Act made it better for sole proprietors. And I say that because if you remember, the individual market before the Affordable Care Act was underwritten, and that basically meant that insurers had a significant amount of discretion to discriminate against people who were sick or older, and there was no real rules on what type of coverage had to be offered in the individual market, and so there were problems on access to coverage, meaning that, so say if you were a farmer but you were a little bit older and maybe you've had high blood pressure, you could actually be denied from getting coverage in the individual market before the Affordable Care Act. And certainly if you had that scenario, you could be rated up, meaning that you could be facing very steep premiums. And on top of that, if down the road you had a heart attack, the insurance company in most states was allowed to actually, you know, reject you going forward for coverage. And so the Affordable Care Act came in and basically said, you know what, insurance companies, you can't do that anymore. You have to take everybody who wants it, and you can't charge them more based on their health status, although you can charge them a little bit more based on their age and a couple of other factors. And on top of that, you have to cover an essential health benefit package of benefits. And so that would include maternity, that would include mental health, that would include all of these services that we expect your health insurance policies to cover. And so in many ways, sole proprietors, were no longer had to be in a position of being fearful that they couldn't get coverage and that the coverage wouldn't work for them because it had to cover these benefits. But then we do have this lingering question about affordability and how much people are willing and actually can afford to pay for these premiums.
We're hearing from some listeners on social media, and you can get with us as well. Find us on Twitter and Facebook at All in Indiana. Linda from Facebook says, the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, was created to give an affordable health insurance option. It also set the standards for insurances that disallow programs that give inadequate coverage. I'm disappointed to see the dismantling of the ACA. It should be getting support from the farmers to create improvements to it. Why are the farmers not supporting politicians that have been setting up health insurance for all as a goal? It seems there seems to be some assumption there, Kevin, on the part of the writer. But is that true? Are farmers typically not supporting these politicians?
Oh, look, I mean... In the conversation so far on the show, there's been this looking towards the Tennessee model for farmers, right? So the Tennessee Farm Bureau had an exemption from the health insurance code. So there, you know, basically none of the rules that would otherwise apply to the individual market, like we were just talking about, guaranteed issue, essential health benefits, a cap on premiums, apply to these policies. And so the Tennessee Farm Bureau is set up and that allows these discriminatory practices that we talked about that existed everywhere prior to the Affordable Care Act. And so the risk of a scenario where you have one market which has all these rules and then another market that doesn't have these rules is that the healthy people who can pass the underwriting and get the good premiums will gravitate towards that other market, leaving the health, you know, the individual market, the ACA market, left with an increased number of people who are sicker, and so premiums go up for that market, and it becomes less interesting and or attractive for issuers to participate, so less competition. And while some people who gravitate towards what I think the Farm Bureau was describing, it ends up being a market that works really well if you're younger and healthier, while leaving behind the people who are older and sicker.
Tom,
so in response to her question, I think that's what policymakers are grappling with. They struggle with trying to help people who are facing high premiums, but the question that I think many states are asking is, do we help people by allowing this kind of segmentation of the market? And that it ends up working for some people, the healthier younger people, and leaving behind the unhealthier and older. So I think it's a complicated question that I think many states are struggling with.
I guess when we see in the news that the ACA, or from perhaps just pundits and commentators, that the ACA is being dismantled, can you kind of break that down for us? How are we seeing that?
Since the Trump administration has come in, there's been a number of actions that has taken place in Congress and then with the Trump administration that I think many people feel have undermined this individual market. And one of them is the reduction of the penalty for the individual mandate. So basically, you know, under the Affordable Care Act, you had to get coverage or you face a penalty. Well, that penalty has been reduced down to nothing. So that really allows people who are who are not interested in having coverage to avoid it and then, you know, potentially jump into the market later on. Whereas the idea with the individual market was really to kind of keep everybody in so the risk is spread across millions of people. And the second part is just, you know, for example, on advertising and letting people know about the marketplace and that this is out there. The Trump administration has reduced the amount of marketing dollars significantly and also reduced the amount of money that was going to people navigators that were really set up to help people find coverage and to get more people enrolled in the marketplace. So those are some examples of how it has happened. The third part I would just say is that the administration, the Trump administration, has really encouraged the growth of what we call alternative coverage options, and that's coverage that doesn't have to come into compliance with all of the market rules of the individual market, and that includes what they call short-term plans, which I'm sure you've heard of, and also association health plans. So these are the types of products that we think kind of has been suggested that they undermine the robust individual market that it could actually be.
We're talking with Kevin Lucia, research professor at the Center on Health Insurance Reforms at the McCourt School of Public Policy at Georgetown University, and we're talking about some proposed changes that would help Indiana farmers with their health coverage. I want to come back to association plans. What are some of the concerns people have around association plans?
Yeah. So it's a great question. So there's been a long history of association health plans across the country, and I think at some point the federal government in the 80s basically had seen that these plans that basically would sell to individuals, small employers, would and then claim that they were large employers for the purposes of the law. They were seeing these association health plans used for vehicles of fraud, and then also there was a high level of insolvencies with these arrangements, and it's pretty well documented in the literature. And so, you know, those are two of the major concerns. And then I think the third concern is this market segmentation issue, where if you have an association that is selling to individuals and small employers, and then they kind of get out of all the rules that apply to the individual market and the small group market, that you have this risk of market segmentation, so that the you know, the individual small group market ends up being have a higher risk pool than they would otherwise have. And then I think earlier in the conversation this was brought up. You know, what often occurs with association health plans is a change in the protections. And in this case, it's a change in who gets the coverage. whether they're protected from high premiums based on their health status, whether they have to include, you know, pre-existing conditions, coverage of pre-existing conditions, and then, of course, the benefits that are covered. And so those are the major areas where I think rise to concerns among policymakers about association health plans.
We heard from Tom on Twitter who said that farmer, I guess the farmer in the last segment talking about health insurance costing as much as their mortgage, says that farmer isn't alone in insurance costing more than their mortgage. And we kind of got into this in the last segment and didn't really get an answer because it's a hard one to answer. I'm wondering if you might have some insight. We heard about the old days and this not really being an issue. Are the old days romanticized? Were there problems then that are the same as now? Or are the problems bigger now and why?
Yeah, it's a great question. And again, I go back to the rules that kind of define the individual market prior to the Affordable Care Act. They basically insurance companies could discriminate against people who were sick, right? So It allowed them to deny people coming into those plans. It allowed them to charge higher premiums for people that were, you know, unhealthy. And they also didn't have to cover like maternity, mental health, pharmaceutical coverage. So you had an individual market. I mean, I used to describe this market as being like Swiss cheese, right? Like the plans that they offered because they often didn't cover what you really needed. Essentially, those three things that we just talked about, maternity coverage, mental health coverage, they had annual limits on how much was covered. So yes, there were people who were healthy that were able to get this kind of Swiss cheese coverage, and they got it at a cheap premium. But I think that may be confused with what we're looking at today, where everybody can get this coverage if they ask for it or they request it. There's the premiums are capped, even though that they're high, but for many people they do get federal subsidies to help pay for it. And the coverage is, you know, compared to what we had before the Affordable Care Act, it's pretty robust. And so your question about romanticizing the past, I would say yes. The individual market was not a place that I certainly would want to have to be buying coverage as a guy that's getting close to 50 with some medical problems.
What do you make of that model that Tennessee has implemented that we're kind of basing some of what we do here in Indiana on? Can you explain what happened there and what kind of an effect that it's had?
Yeah, I mean, basically, my understanding is the Farm Bureau in Tennessee was given an exemption from the insurance code in Tennessee. So they don't have to meet all the requirements that we have been talking about in regards to guaranteed issue and premium caps and covering essential health benefits. And so that allows them to underwrite people when they come into that plan. And I think, you know, that allows them to, yes, they can offer, you know, whatever product they want to, which I understand is decent. But they also can charge people higher premiums, and they can also say no to someone coming in. And so my expectation, and it's hard to tell without having all the data, is that if you have a kind of a product that's underwritten like that, that you may see a healthier risk pool in that market as compared to their individual market. And sure enough, I mean, I don't know if anybody's been able to make the complete connection, but Tennessee had always been looked at as, an insurance market that had gone bad after the Affordable Care Act. But if you have, you know, 75,000 healthy people kind of buying through a plan instead of the marketplace, you take that healthy risk out of it. And sure enough, you have an individual market that is, struggling.
Kevin Lucia, research professor at the Center on Health Insurance Reforms at the McCourt School of Public Policy at Georgetown University. Thank you so much for calling in to talk with us about this today.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Our producers are Drew Dodlin and Maggie Galon. Scott Cameron's our managing editor. Our show is engineered by Adam Gross. If you'd like a podcast of this show or any past show, you can find it anywhere you get your podcasts. Tomorrow, we'll have the Friday pitch in, and we'll get the rundown on what's happened at the State House this week and some analysis on Governor Holcomb's State of the State address this past Tuesday night. In the meantime, find us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana. I'm Matt Pelser. Thanks for listening. This is All In.